you mind if I just read it? Heavenly Father, just I want to repeat Sarah's prayer from earlier that your spirit will fill this place. That the words that are spoken in this place will come from you, through me and others as well as bring your word. Lord God, we just want to hear from you this morning. We want to see you do what you will do in this place. Ask you to be here, to lift us, to open our ears, to encourage us, to make us receptive, to receive us, Jesus. In Jesus' name. There's two things I think I've become more and more convinced of recently, or maybe it's not that I've become more convinced of them. Maybe it's just that sometimes God puts his finger on your heart, doesn't he, and says, I want you to think about this thing, or this thing is what you need to be really considering at the moment. It touches something and it becomes the thing that you can't get away from, the thing that you keep thinking about. So the two things that I feel like God is talking to me about at the moment, and I think this is not just for me, but for the whole church, is that he's saying we need to surrender everything to Christ. That we need to be seeking him with our whole hearts. That every thought, every decision that we make needs to be captured to Christ. Given over to him, to have his influence on it. That every element, every part of our life needs to be intentionally working through what it means to be a Christian, what it means to live out our life for God. That's one thing I've become convinced of. The second thing I've become convinced of is that I can't do it on my own. That I need other people around me spurring me on to do it. Because the moment that I sort of start hanging out with people who aren't following the same path, or who don't want to do the same thing as that, to be seeking God with our whole hearts, begin to sink down to kind of the lowest common denominator. That's what I really need to achieve this, is other people around me who are saying, come on, Tom, you can do this. Come on, let's do this together. Let's sit down and pray. And you think, I really don't want to pray right now. I'd rather watch TV. But you need someone next to you saying, no, come on, this is really good. Let's stop. Let's switch the TV off and let's pray. I need that. If I don't have someone encouraging me, I would probably, 9 times out of 10, not always, because sometimes we're super inspired by God, 9 times out of 10 will probably take the path of least resistance. But when you've got someone else with you saying, come on, you can do this, that's what I need. And that's kind of what we're talking about this morning. It's that spurring one another on. It's that saying, come on, keep going, you can do this, pushing each other to go further, to go deeper. What these practical examples that we're going to talk about in a minute are all about. So I was thinking about, we talked about ships in the first part of this, as being an analogy for the church. And I don't know whether this is just God's sense of humour, or whether it's just that I'm more interested in vehicles than anything else, I don't know. But I thought of another analogy for this morning. When we're going on a journey, or when we're doing something, we oftentimes go in a vehicle, don't we? Whether that's in a car, whether it's on a ferry if we're going across to France, whether it's on a train or a bus or something, we go in a vehicle. But it's not the vehicle that matters, it's the end destination, it's what we're doing, whether that's a visit to a hospital, whether it's an important meeting, whether it's a day out with friends, whatever it is. It's the thing that we're going to that's important. It's not the vehicle that we're travelling to get there. Yes? Okay. So, you could use any vehicle often to get to a destination. If I were to go to London, I could jump in the car and I could drive there, or I could walk up to the train station and get on a train. Or if I was feeling really rich, I could probably drive to Gloucester and catch a plane, or you know, there's any number of ways I could get there. It would be the fact that I wanted to go to London that was important, not how I got there. Well, it might be important in terms of my bank balance. The important thing is the goal, right? It's not the journey, not the vehicle that we get there in. And so I suppose that's what I wanted to say this morning before we start to talk about some of these different initiatives. Is that they are just a vehicle. And they may change, and they may break down sometimes, and they might not be the same vehicle that we'll use the next time. But it's the goal that's important, and that is the two things that I started off talking about. They're they're moving towards Christ-likeness. That's the important thing, not the vehicle we use to get there. Yeah? You're with this.
Yes.
Good. So, we're doing some more kind of teaching on this, and teaching not on just on discipleship, but on the destination as well, what we're really trying to achieve through this. That'll start in a month or so's time. But for now, let's have a look at some of the practical ways that came out of our weekend away, how we thought that we might, as a church, engage more in discipleship. As I say, they're just vehicles. They're not the end goal in themselves. They're ways that we may grow each other, spur each other on towards Christ. This is one that I've had a passion for a long time, but we've never really got things off the ground, been too busy, you know, all sorts of things going away. But for men, and I'm not saying this is exclusive, you know, maybe there's a lady here who thinks, I would love to do something with the ladies, you know, have a ladies ministry. And to be fair, the girls have done
to
much
be honest,
better.
That already is our women's ministry.
You girls have done much better with your kind of like your wreath making and your
trips to Birmingham.
Yeah, that's really good. but I thought us blokes, we're much more hopeless at getting ourselves organised in this kind of thing. But I would love to do something more along those kind of lines. I think, you know, getting a bunch of guys out on the hills. Are you saying that one of them looks like a woman to you?
I'm just saying one of them's got Crocs. I don't think it belongs to another woman. Which are all guys.
That's the one that you'll be supporting on your way up there. Come on, brother, you can do it. I would love to do this kind of exciting stuff. But the purpose of it is not necessarily just to climb the mountain. It's to be on the way up there, to be challenging each other, talking to each other, saying, hey, how's your spiritual health? What's going on in your life? How are you getting on? You know, all that kind of stuff, that discipling stuff as you go along, doing these adventures. That's one thing I'd really love to do more of. And anyone that's interested in that, the opportunity to kind of respond later on in the service. What's the next one, Boyd? Prayer trainings. This is one that we've decided as a leadership team that we will be modelling. So they're going to be, in terms of leadership team, they don't have to be like this, but in terms of leadership team, they're going to be gender specific. So the three ladies who are on the leadership team are going to, and already have done twice, met together to pray as a prayer triplet. And the idea was that blokes will do this as well, and the blokes being blokes have not yet managed to do prayer triplet. And that's not to say that we won't be doing it. And so we just felt it was something that was worth sort of being able to hold to it and saying, if this is the vehicle that's going to help you become more Christ-like, then how about forming a prayer triplet with two other people and just getting together, sharing your lives in a bit closer detail. Maybe, I think the girls, you go out for a walk.
Yes, yeah. I'd like to share a little testimony from that.
Then please do, this would be a great
one.
Well,
that?
Yeah,
we met, and we meet at 9 a.m. on Saturday morning, which is a massive sacrifice for me. I think it's the same for you, isn't it? And it's rained on both times, isn't it? Like, proper rain. And just been a bit like, oh, here we go, okay, ready, hat. But I just want to say, the first time we met, I was like, one of the small things, because what we tend to do is talk a little bit about personal stuff, we'll kind of take it and say, okay, what's going on in your life, and then kind of let's pray about that, and then we kind of, by the end of the walk, we're praying about church and stuff like that. The first time, one of the biggest things in my life, it's such a simple little thing, I wasn't sleeping, so I was so stressed about work at the time, and I think I said about, averaging about 3-4 hours a night, I was really, really tired, and so they just... Jill and Catherine just prayed for me, and since then I've actually had a really great sleep. Just something so small, such a small thing, just to come to other people and say, actually, I just don't sleep very much, has made a massive difference. And just the fact, I probably wouldn't have had that prayer if it hadn't been through a prayer triplet, because I was sort of like, come on, let's share. Doesn't matter what sort of it is, even if it sounds really small to you, just share it because you're in kind of good company. It's made a big difference in my life, and I just want to share a small testimony to say God cares about the small things. If you're not a sort of person who wants to share in big groups, then really try and get together, try and form a little prayer trip with someone, because the small things that worry you are big things to God, and He's going to bless you through.
Okay, cool. So, as I say, there'll be a chance to respond a bit more sort of in a structured way at the end of this, but if you think about that, next one, Molly. life groups. So when we started out with life groups, we kind of had this fairly formalised view of what they might look like on an evening with people going to other people's homes and doing some sort of Bible study. And we felt that maybe God was saying, you know, that was a bit too restricted, and we needed to broaden that out a bit. That anything you're doing together with another bunch of people can be your life group if you make it intentionally. If you really see it as a place to disciple each other, to talk to each other, to check up on each other, to ask those questions and to make space to pray, perhaps. So if you're getting together, if you love cooking and you're getting together to cook, that can be your life group if you're making it intentionally. And I think intentional is the key word, that we have to actually put the effort in. We have to strive to introduce that. If we just let it happen, it won't happen, you know what I mean? We've got to be intentional about doing that. But anywhere can be your life group. The Scrabble Club can be a life group if we're intentional about asking people, how are you doing? You know, what's going on in your life? How is that thing you're struggling with? And make the opportunity to pray for them, that sort of thing. So life groups are a bit broader than we might originally envision. Yeah, something that we were talking about in discipleship is that if we don't provide opportunities for people to grow, they're not going to grow. And so we were thinking about when Rob's been doing his series on the prophetic on a Sunday night, that will soon come to an end. Should we replace it with something else? And I thought, well, why not do some sort of leadership training on a Sunday night? You know, where people who are interested in growing in leadership come together and we can talk about different ways, go through a program of what's good leadership, what will really, or perhaps, I know that I've only been in leadership of a church for 5 or so years, but you pick up quite a lot in 5 years, particularly if you blunder your way through most stuff like that. You quickly begin to realise what doesn't work so well, because you get a flurry of emails saying, I might be able to help some people avoid some of those pitfalls, and I won't be able to help you avoid every pitfall, because I'm still going to tread in most of the course. But we want to be able to create these kind of opportunities for people to grow, to really flourish, to move forward. And so leadership training, if it's something that you're interested in, if you feel that maybe God is calling you to do something, and again, we want you to kind of respond a little bit more formally towards the end, so that we can put that program together and do that on Sunday night, if that's the right thing. Next. Oh, this is the last one we sort of came up with, but there's real age-old kind of mistake that we make in churches, that we think ministry is what happens on a Sunday morning, or ministry is what the church worker does, or that kind of thing. And we really need to recognise that that's wrong and get away from that. And there are people in our church community here who minister in really tough situations, from 9 to 5 every day, or even longer, you know, in their jobs. If we took some of the people with jobs in our community around Herefordshire, and we move them across to Africa and we stuck the label missionary on them, we'd all think, wow, that's amazing what you're doing. But because we're doing it and we're being paid for it in Herefordshire, then maybe it doesn't seem quite so amazing. But it is, and we've got to recognise that, and we want to support that kind of thing. So if that's the sort of thing that would be really useful to you, if you're in a tough job and you really want that kind of support, then we want to be able to create a group where you come together and provide each other with that support. Make sense? So that's the sort of thing that we're thinking about. And there might be a load of other ideas out there. We're not kind of saying, yeah, everyone stick your hand up and we'll end up with 200 ideas that only one person ever goes to. But we do want to create ways for people to be a disciple, if you like, for people to get to this point of being discipled and moving forward and growing deeper with God. Yes.
Do you mean pastoral work over from the church by that? That's what I was thinking.
What? Sorry,
I don't quite understand.
Is that in the church or out of the church? The
So it's ministry outside the church? What do you mean ministry within the church? So
primarily the thought behind this was people who are in the church and in a tough job, or you know, going into, you know, not even a job, but in a tough caring kind of situation, whatever it may be. There's a support group for those people within the church.
For those who are not on jobs or just struggle with problems.
Yeah, it could be anything really. But I wasn't thinking of it quite so much as a mission thing, but as a pastoral thing within the church body, for those who are doing ministry outside of the church body in their day to day.
So what about the bog standard member of the church who might struggle with problems? I mean general pastoral care or anything like that.
Yeah, that isn't particularly what this group was for necessarily, but you know, I mean that is one element of the church's life that's just important to all the others. But yeah, that isn't primarily.
That's what my
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that kind of answer your question?
Well, I'll wait. What you say?
You want to say?
You're not finished with the service. I'll wait. What else you got to say?
Okay. Well, actually, I am pretty much finished. The point is, I think really that we want, I just want to see us as a church get hold of this idea that we really need to go deeper with God, and that we want to give everything over to Him. Are you feeling hot?
Yes, we're making a for tears and heat on the
That's what happens, Val, when you pray for the Holy Spirit. Before I completely lose the plot, I want us to see that the emphasis of all of this is about moving forward, going deeper with God, about that dedication, about that whole life giving that really I am more and more convinced is really what brings us fulfillment and joy, and we need, as I said, support to do that. And if we're not looking for that support, if we're not being intentional in that, if we're not providing it to others, we're going to struggle, because it's really hard to do it on your own. It's really hard to sort of, I find it really hard anyway, maybe you don't, but I think we all do actually find it really hard to pick up your Bible and read it and pray for the chunks of the day. I think you all struggle with that. But if you've got someone alongside you who's saying, how are you quiet times? How are you getting on? You know, what are you reading at the moment? What are you learning from that kind of thing? You know, that spurs us on, encourages us. It's that kind of thing. With me. Good. Okay. All right. What's next? John, Lloyd, it's you.
Yeah, and then all I've got to say is it follows on. We will follow on from what Thomas shared with us already. This idea of us all supporting one another, spurring one another along, and going closer to God. We are doing it as a church community, and I think what came to us as a leadership team is that there are many people who are already contributing in so many different ways. And we look back at what, if you remember a few weeks ago when we had the first of these services, Catherine and Jill put together a really good presentation of how the church has grown over the last couple of years, 2 or 3 years. And it really is amazing. And we can just see, as we look at that, how God has blessed us. We're at a point now where, in order to move forward, we need to bring more people into the leadership roles. To encourage those who've taken on leadership roles, and that's what next Sunday evening is all about. As a church, we know or we feel that we're at capacity in a couple of ways. Really, we know we're we know we're at capacity in a physical space. I stand here and there's two empty seats in the whole church. We're at capacity in what we can offer as a church. We still struggle with those fifth Sundays, and it's a real irritation to many of us in the leadership and without. When we look back, we can just see how God has blessed us. Less than 2 years ago, a few of us were just starting to think whether we could afford to release Tom into paid ministry. And we learned that Silver Street Market has represented a real opportunity. And there was the potential to employ Joe to start to build our youth work. Any one of these at the time presented a real challenge financially to the church. We didn't get to any of this. But we reached forward in faith. How God blessed us. 18 months on, we established the basics, fundamentals. We've got Tom in position, we've got Claire in position, we've got Joe, and we're now going to have Karen. Okay. But we really are still only at the start, having established the basics. Mission and service and discipleship. Mission and service is bringing blessings to the people of this village and the area. Want to influence and change lives. It would be great to run parenting and marriage courses, to have activity groups and men's ministry, to support for carers, to find all sorts of ways to reach people where they are and share the news. It would be great to be part of everything that goes on in this village. It would be great to have somewhere two or three times larger than this room, space to meet and space for new Christians hungry to know Jesus better. If we look at how God found the money, Silver Street, we have to believe, surely, He wants us to develop it as a place for the community and the church. Does this excite you? Is this the sort of church that you want to be part of? Something that, with God's continued blessing, we can do. We do need to do it together. But it's all taking part. Everyone giving as they can of their time and their talents and contributing financially. There is great work that goes on. The vast majority of it is voluntary time. But time is finite, and there is so much more that we would like to do. Just to highlight a few of the areas where we really need help. Trustees, the three of us. That's myself, Rob, and Frida. That's a lot of work. We really do need a couple more people to spread that work and to build on it. Treasurer's assistant. Andy has been treasurer for getting on for 18 months now. He does a fantastic job, but the work has grown hugely. He's identified roles that will help him. Life groups, wanted life groups, but it would be great if people were to step up to start and lead new groups. Youth, even if Karen comes on along, we still need help. Just from a simple safeguarding point of view, we can't just have one person with the youth. Colin and Joe and Audrey and Jutta, myself a few times, we help. But we really could do with one or two more people to help them. We would love to have regular services on the fifth Sunday of the month. But to do so, we need a few more people to join with the children's work. We need more musicians. But speak to Jill about the children's work, or Sean and Caroline, who are here this morning, if you've been keeping silent about your musical gifts. The idea of developing Silver Street excites you, then step forward. We're really at the stage now of moving forward with that project, and developing plans. Speak to Tom. We wanted to do a monthly term serving the refreshments on a Sunday, or manning the AV system, or taking the donations to the food bank. This is right up there on the projector. Some of the volunteer roles we need people to help with. Some of those are roles that exist at the moment, some are things which we aspire to. Something there that we really feel to help with. Or is God nudging you to come forward with some other particular ministry? Let's hear from them. Now, we're talking about a church where everybody contributes. There are two main reasons, if you read in the literature about all this, two main reasons that we all hold back, that we have a tendency to hold back from offering to help. First is, we don't really feel worthy, we don't feel that we're the right person for the job. The second is time. I'll come back to that time in a moment. It's so natural, isn't it? Feel that we're not the right person, we're not worthy in some way, there's something within our being that we just don't, we're not proud of, we don't want to feel that we can step forward to offer things for God, that we don't feel capable in some way. If that is you, if that's what's holding you back, reflect a moment on the people that through history God has used. People just like you and just like me. Moses, Gideon, Joshua, Christ's disciples. We don't know what they all did before they became disciples, but we know that four of them were fishermen. One of them, Matthew, was a tax collector. All these people feeling out of their depth, God came calling. God uses ordinary people, you and me. You can all relate to Moses. He was just a shepherd. Before God came calling, he actually killed somebody. It was not surprising, was it, that when God came to him and said, Moses, I want you to go and bring my people out of Egypt. He said, what, me? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? God answered, I will be with you. And that's a key part of this. God saying, I'm not expecting you to do it on your own. I will be with you. If you remember Moses, all the signs he was sharing with him, the staff and the snake and all that, he was still saying he wasn't the right person. Famously, he even said, after all of this and after all these signs, oh Lord, please, not me, can't you send someone else? You know the rest of the story. Moses went to Egypt. With all manner of twists and turns, he did lead his people out of Egypt into the promised land. All the time, God was with him. What an example that is for us. I'm so hesitant, so lacking in confidence, God used to achieve his purpose. The key lesson is if God calls, he doesn't leave us to do it on our own. All the way through that conversation between God and Moses, God is repeating his message that he would be with Moses. I will help you speak and I will teach you what to say. And on that epic journey, God is there offering instruction and reassurance. If you feel God may be calling, don't be fearful. Two things to hold on to. First is, he will be with you. The second is, that he will equip you. Do you remember that verse from Thessalonians that was put up earlier this morning about the word of God equipping us for his work? It's a phrase that really resonates with me. God does not call the equipped. He equips those who are called. And the discipleship training, the wider leadership group, it's all part of God equipping us. And certainly speaking personally, from my own personal experience, the last thing I expected when moving to Cornwall 4 years ago that I was going to be standing up here doing this kind of thing. I feel unworthy. I do feel ill-equipped. But somehow, with God's help, I get through. I'm growing into it. The same with the kids' work. There were an appeal for help with children shortly after we arrived here. I'd always steered well clear of that. My own children were challenging enough. Other people's children, you have got to be joking. But I've actually thoroughly enjoyed it. And you get as much out of the preparation for those, you know, sort of get into it and it's a real discipline to bring you closer to God. And so, I'm just saying, my own experience is that God does equip if you stand up. The second reason, as I said, is the lack of time. If God is calling, he will find the time. And maybe he's nudging you to put something down, create space, reorganize, to rethink. He'll want to bless you. With any of these things, whether it's just the challenge of, you know, can I do one of these things? Have I got the time? Lay it before God. For guidance and wisdom, find other people, find a triplet, form a triplet, pray it through with other people. God is calling us as a church on a journey. But what we really want to encourage is that we all play a practical part. But the question to ask is, am I in? Do I want to be a part of this? This is the sort of church I really want to be contributing to. Can I help? We're also challenged financially to resource the church. As Tom said at the beginning, this isn't all about asking for money. It's not trying to make people feel guilty or uncomfortable. The truth is, as a church, we have been wonderfully blessed by God in resourcing us financially. Like that first slide, Tom, please.
Yeah.
Last year, 2016.
You want the first set of figures?
Wait, 2017, last year. We have time to hide, isn't it? I don't remember which year it is. Right. So, we projected, we thought we were pretty safe at the beginning of 2017, based on the figures from the towards the end of the previous year, that we could rely on an income of 3,000 for the year. By this time, we'd taken on Tom's salaries. We had that to rely for. We did pare back a lot of other things in the budget. We set an austerity budget, as it were, of £50,000. What actually happened? Next slide, Tom. We are actually kept within our planned expenditure. Our income grew almost 11,500. We actually ended up in surplus at the end of that period. On the basis of that, we think we're fairly safe on the basis of the figures for the second half of last year. Get an income this year of around 62,000. But with the things we want to do, that's we've taken on Claire, we've got Karen, we'll be a salaried youth worker for a couple of days a week, we're going to have to pay for the use of the space at the school. We want to go further towards repaying the cost of the loan that we took out for Silver Street. We want to be progressing with the planning application and the drawings and all that, professional fees and such like, for Silver Street. So we really want to be able to spend 75,000 in the course of this year to cover all those things. And we're trusting God in this, trusting as a church, working together with everybody contributing, that we can get to that figure. God does inspire generous giving. You see that in the gifts. The 50,000 interest-free loan would help us to secure Silver Street. But in the course of researching this, I came across something which I've not seen before. It's very remarkable research from Harvard University into how money makes people happy. And you know, the remarkable thing is, this research has been, this isn't just a sort of a one-off piece of sort of research by some slightly screwy academic. This is research that's been running for over 70 years. The researchers analyse what it is that people do with their money that gives them the most satisfaction. You know what it is? Giving it away. As an aside, I find this difficult. They've obviously done some sort of gratification tests or something. People. And it seems that the same degree of happiness can be achieved by giving away a sum of money as will be achieved by receiving a sum 20 times as much. Okay? So, little test. I'm not suggesting this seriously, but it's an interesting thought at least. I want to know what it feels like to receive an unexpected gift of £10,000 by giving away £500. Anyway. Giving money to a good cause, scientifically, it's proved to lead to spiritual health. So our spiritual need far outweighs this church's need for our money. Jesus' teaching on this is recorded in Matthew 6, a famous passage. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there is your heart. There your heart will be also. Where is your treasure? Where is my treasure? The leading place to look is our bank statement. I know, personal testimony again, I know that I'm regularly confronted with uncomfortable truths when I look at mine. So, we're inviting everyone to be part of this journey. Are you in? I know many today give generously already. And I'm not particularly for everybody who already gives. And those who give to charities, I'm not suggesting that you don't give to charity. God loves that. Don't, for sake, stop doing that. The reality is, if this is your church, the only place that the money comes from is from the church members. It's just us. No public or church money tree. The amount is not what's important. We want to achieve, what we want to encourage. the idea that as a body of church members, we are all in it together. We're all doing it together. Us again, are you in? You want to be a part. Now, under each seat, or maybe on the static bit under the seat in front of you, remember that. There's a couple of things in there. One is that chart that went up at the beginning with all those jobs. That's in there. I just want to set up a pledge form. So we would ask over this next week or so that you carefully consider that list of tasks, whether you want to make any response financially. When you're ready, today or next week, please return completed forms in the envelope to the black box to the left of the door on the way out there. I'm sure you're aware we have a planned giving scheme, and many people are already part of it. It enables the church to reclaim 25 pence for every pound if you're a taxpayer. And again, there's some tax there in the coin. You can talk at any time on financial issues in complete confidence to Andy, who's sitting in the middle here. Hand up, please, Andy. Treasurer, or to myself. We are the only two people in the church, nobody else in the leadership, not the other trustees. We're the only two people who know who this is what. It is that totally, totally confidential. So if you like what goes on here, this is your church. And if you're not doing so at the moment, we really invite you to contribute regularly and trust God to use what we do. It's what he does to invest in his work. Invest with treasures in heaven, I suppose. So to conclude, I've just been looking at some of these practical ways, what it means as a church to be a church body together, with us all contributing with our time, with our skills, with our cash. Those are the practical ways that we can get involved. Importantly, this morning, as Thomas said, is about discipling, about being discipled. In this church, we want everyone to be an active part of this body. We want there to be multiple ways to connect, to learn, training God's word, involved in relationships and in ministry. So both within the church body, as we seek to disciple those outside of it. I think this comes back to Roger's netball analogy. You know, it doesn't have to be a Christian before you start discipling them. Our friends and our neighbours, and our school colleagues, can become our disciples who are intentional about it. So, that is the vision that was shared weeks ago. How to capture the vision today. Our discipleship is really a key. Key part of this is also about us all doing this together. I leave you with those thoughts. I'm just going to have a prayer. So.
So I just want to take a few minutes. I'm just thinking of the time as well. I just want to take 2 minutes and just break it into two small bits of prayer. One, I want us to be thinking to think personally about being discipled yourself. So Tom went through a few different ideas we had. Prayer triplet, whether that's something that you want to get involved in, whether you need a life group, whatever shape it takes, whether you need to get involved in men's ministry or a bit of women's ministry, whether you actually feel that it's the leadership that you want to grow in yourself, or whether you're in a tough workplace, or whether you're particularly caring for a very difficult personal circumstance. We're thinking about that, being a missionary, not in Africa or far from places, but being a missionary in Herefordshire or Worcestershire, and a support group for that. So think now, I'm going to have just a moment, and I will time you, because of the time that we're looking at. How can you be discipled? Where do you need to receive from? What is it that is your way? That God sort of saying to you, this is your thing. I'm going to put into you and bless you by this. Let's have 60 seconds, so 1 minute. Just to think now, what does God drop into your heart as where you need to receive discipleship? Just going to pray, Holy Spirit, the thoughts that you're starting to bubble up in each one of us, about how you long for each of us to grow more in you. Pray that those thoughts will continue and grow and develop this week, and with you, opportunities for those conversations to start, even this week, with people. I long to see every person in this room reach their potential in you, all that they have, their skills and talents to reach their potential. The other thing I want us to think about, what John was talking about, so we've had being discipled, and then how you can disciple, how you can then put into others. So just to sort of encourage you to look at this week, whether it's part of that, if there's another area, if there's another sort of sphere of influence, you know, what is your area that you kind of think, actually, I could be discipling this person or that person? Where can I put into my, where can I give my effort to? I just want to, don't necessarily feel we need to sort of sit and pray about that for a minute now, because I want you to go away and think about that, as John sort of encouraged. So, right, receiving it yourself and then being a disciple to others. I'm going to now invite Sean and Caroline up, unless there's anything, Tom, you want to say?
No.
And then I'm going to
no.
sneak up and yeah. get the kids.
Time is in His hands.